Perhaps the most important of all mental laws is the law of belief. This law says that whatever you believe with conviction becomes your reality. You do not believe what you see what you already believe. You actually view your world through a lens of beliefs, attitudes, prejudices, and preconceived notions. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. In the Old Testament, it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." This means that you always act on the outside based on your innermost beliefs and convictions about yourself. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "According to your faith, it is done unto you." This is another way of saying that your intense beliefs become your realities. They determine what happens to you. Dr. William James of Harvard said in 1905, "Belief creates the actual fact." He went on to say, "The greatest revolution of my generation is the discovery that individuals, by changing their inner attitudes of mind, can change the outer aspects of their lives." All improvement in your life comes from changing your beliefs about yourself and your possibilities. Personal growth comes from changing your beliefs about what you can do and about what is possible for you. Would you like to double your income? Of course you would. Here's the question. Do you believe that it's possible? How would you like to triple your income? Do you believe that that is possible as well? Whatever your level of skepticism, let me ask you a question. Since you started your first job, haven't you already doubled or tripled your income? Aren't you already earning vastly more than you earned when you started? Haven't you already proven to yourself that it's possible to double and triple your income? And what you have done before, you can do again, and probably over and over, if you just learn how. You simply have to believe that it's possible. Napoleon Hill said, "Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve." Perhaps the greatest breakthrough in the 20th century in the field of human potential was the discovery of the self-concept. Everything you do or achieve in your life, every thought, feeling, or action, is controlled and determined by your self-concept. Your self-concept precedes and predicts your levels of performance and effectiveness in everything you do. Your self-concept is the master program of your mental computer. It is the basic operating system. Everything that you accomplish in your outer world is a result of your self-concept. What psychologists have discovered is that your self-concept is made up of the sum total of all of your beliefs, attitudes, feelings, and opinions about yourself and your world. Because of this, you always operate in a manner consistent with your self-concept, whether positive or negative. Here's an interesting discovery about the self-concept. Even if your self-concept is made up of erroneous beliefs about yourself or your world, as far as you're concerned, these are facts, and you will think, feel, and act accordingly. As it happens, your beliefs about yourself are largely subjective. They are often not based on fact at all. They're the result of information that you have taken in throughout your life and the way you have processed that information. Your beliefs have been shaped and formed by your early childhood, your friends and associates, your reading and education, your experiences, both positive and negative, and 1,000 other factors. The worst of all beliefs are self-limiting beliefs. If you believe yourself to be limited in some way, whether or not it is true, it becomes true for you. If you believe it, you will act as if you were deficient in that particular area of talent or skill. Overcoming self-limiting beliefs and self-imposed limitations is often the biggest obstacle standing between you and the realization of your full potential. Albert Einstein was sent home from school as a young man with a learning disability. His parents were told that he was incapable of being educated. They refused to accept this diagnosis and eventually arranged for him to get an excellent education. Dr. Albert Schweitzer had the same problems at school as a boy. His parents were encouraged to apprentice him to a shoemaker so that he would have a safe, secure job when he grew up. Both men went on to earn doctorates before the ages of 20 and to leave their marks on the history of the 20th century. According to an article in Fortune magazine on learning disabilities in business, Many presidents and senior executives of Fortune 500 corporations today were diagnosed in school as being not particularly bright or capable. But by virtue of hard work, they went on to achieve great success in their industries. Thomas Edison was expelled from school in the sixth grade. His parents were told that it would be a waste of time to spend any money educating him because he was not particularly smart or capable of being taught anything. Edison went on to become the greatest inventor of the modern age. This kind of story has been repeated thousands of times. Self-limiting beliefs, sometimes based on a single experience or a casual remark, can hold you back for years. Almost everyone has had the experience of mastering a skill in an area where they thought they had no ability, and being quite surprised at themselves. Perhaps this has happened to you. You suddenly realize that your limiting ideas about yourself in that area were not based on fact at all. Louise Hay, the writer, says that the roots of most of our problems in life are contained in the feeling, I'm not good enough. Dr. Alfred Adler said it is the natural inheritance of Western man to have feelings of inferiority that start in childhood and often continue through adult life. Many people, because of their negative beliefs, most of which are erroneous, falsely consider themselves to be limited in intelligence, talent, capability, creativity, or skill of some kind. In virtually every case, these beliefs are false. The fact is, you have more potential than you could ever use in your entire lifetime. No one is better than you, and no one is smarter than you. People are just smarter or better in different areas at different times. According to Dr. Howard Gardner of Harvard University, the founder of the concept of multiple intelligences, you are possessed of at least 10 different intelligences, in any one of which you might be a genius. Unfortunately, only two intelligences are measured and reported throughout school and university, verbal and mathematical. But you could be a genius in the areas of visuospatial intelligence, which involves art and design. You could be a genius in entrepreneurial intelligence, the ability to start and build successful businesses. You could be a genius in physical or kinesthetic intelligence, which is sports. You could be a musical genius, which is playing musical instruments or writing music. You could be a genius in interpersonal intelligence, which means the ability to get along well with others, to negotiate, sell, persuade, even politics. You could be a genius in intrapersonal intelligence, which is understanding yourself and your own desires at a deep level. You could be a genius in the area of intuitive intelligence, which is the ability to automatically sense the right thing to do or say or to come up with creative ideas. You could be a genius in artistic intelligence, which is the ability to create works of art of all kinds. Or you could be a genius in abstract intelligence, which embraces the fields of physics and science. As the saying on the wall of the inner city school reads, God don't make no junk. Each person is capable of achieving excellence in some way, in some area. You have within you right now the ability to function at genius or exceptional levels in at least one and perhaps several different intelligence areas. Your job is to find out what it could be for you. Your responsibility to yourself is to cast off all these self-limiting beliefs and accept that you are an extraordinarily capable and talented person. You are engineered for greatness and designed for success. You have competencies and capabilities that have never been tapped. You have the ability within yourself right now to accomplish almost any goal you can set for yourself if you're willing to work long enough and hard enough to achieve it. The good news about beliefs is that all beliefs are learned. They can therefore be unlearned, especially if they're not helpful. When you came into this world, you had no beliefs at all about yourself, your religion, your political party, other people, or the world in general. Today you know a lot of things, but as the comic Josh Billings once wrote, it ain't what a man knows what hurts him, it's what he knows what ain't true. There are many things that you know about yourself that are simply not true, and these are almost all in the area of self-limiting beliefs. The starting point of unlocking more of your potential is for you to identify your self-limiting beliefs and then ask, what if they were not true at all? What if you were possessed of an extraordinary ability in an area where you didn't think you were very good at all, such as selling, entrepreneurship, public speaking, or money-making? Everywhere I go throughout the world, I have taught these principles to many tens of thousands of people. I have filing drawers full of letters and emails from people who had never heard this idea of self-limiting beliefs before. But once they heard it, they changed their entire attitudes toward themselves. They began to see themselves as far more competent and capable in key areas of their lives than they had ever been before. In no time at all, they began transforming their lives and changing their results. Their incomes doubled and tripled and quadrupled. Many of them became millionaires and multimillionaires. They went from the bottom of their companies to the top, from the worst performer in their sales forces to the highest earning person in their companies. After they changed their beliefs about themselves and their personal potentials, they learned new skills and took on new challenges. They set bigger goals and threw their whole hearts into achieving them. By questioning their beliefs and by refusing to accept that they were limited in any way, they took complete charge of their lives and created new realities for themselves. And what countless others have done, you can do as well. Imagine that there was a belief store, very much like a computer software store, that you could visit and purchase a belief to program into your subconscious mind. If you could choose any set of beliefs at all, which beliefs would be the most helpful to you? Here's my suggestion. Select this belief. I am destined to be a big success in life. If you absolutely believe that you are destined to be a big success, you will walk, talk, and act as if everything that happens to you in life is part of a great plan to make you successful. And as it happens, this is how the top people think in every field. Top people look for the good in every situation. They know that it's always there. No matter how many reversals and setbacks they experience, they expect to get something good out of everything that happens to them. They believe that every setback is part of a great plan that is moving them inexorably toward achieving the great success that is inevitable for them. If your beliefs are positive enough, you will seek the valuable lesson in every setback or difficulty. You will confidently believe that there are many things that you have to learn on the road to achieving and keeping your ultimate success. You therefore look upon every problem as a learning experience. Napoleon Hill wrote, "Within every difficulty or obstacle, there is the seed of an equal or greater advantage or benefit." With this kind of an attitude, you benefit from everything that happens to you, positive or negative, as you move upward and onward toward achieving your major definite purpose. There is a law of reversibility in psychology and metaphysics that says, you are more likely to act yourself into feeling a particular way than you are to feel your way into acting. What this means is that when you start off, you may not feel like the great success that you desire to be. You will not have the self-confidence that comes from a record of successful achievement. You will often doubt your own abilities and fear failure. You will feel that you are not good enough, at least not yet. But if you act as if you were already the person you desire to be, with the qualities and talents that you desire to have, your actions will generate the feelings that go with them. You will actually act yourself into feeling the way you want to feel by the law of reversibility. For example, if you want to be one of the top people in your business, dress like the top people, groom like the top people, organize your work habits the way they do, pick the most successful people in your field and use them as your role models. If possible, go to them and ask them for advice on how to get ahead more rapidly. And whatever advice they give you, follow it immediately. Take action. When you start to walk, talk, dress, and behave like the top people, you soon begin to feel like the top people. You will treat other people like the top people do. You will work the way the top people work. You will start to get the results that the top people get. In no time at all, you will be one of the top people yourself. It may be trite to say, fake it until you make it, but there's a lot of truth to it. Emmett Fox, the spiritual teacher, once said that your main job in life is to create the mental equivalent within yourself of what you want to realize and enjoy in your outer world. Your focus must be on creating the beliefs within yourself that are consistent with the great success you want to be in your outer world. You achieve this by challenging your self-limiting beliefs, rejecting them, and then acting as if they did not exist. You reinforce the development of new, life-enhancing beliefs by increasing your knowledge and skills in your field to the point where you feel equal to any demand or challenge. You accelerate the development of new, positive beliefs by setting bigger and more exciting goals in every area. Finally, you act continually as if you are already the person that you desire to be. Your aim is to reprogram your subconscious mind for success by creating the mental equivalent in everything you do or say. You develop new beliefs by taking actions consistent with those beliefs. You act as if you already believe that you have these capabilities and competences. You behave like a positive, optimistic, and cheerful person toward everyone. You act as if your success were already guaranteed. You act as if you have a secret guarantee of success and only you know about it. You realize that you are developing, shaping, and controlling the evolution of your own character and personality by everything that you do and say every single day. Since you become what you think about, you should only say and do those things that are consistent with your self-ideal, the person you most aspire to be, and your long-term future ideals. You should only think and talk about the things that are moving you toward becoming the person you want to be and toward achieving the goals that you want to achieve. Make a decision this very day to challenge and reject any self-limiting beliefs that you might have that could be holding you back. Look into yourself and question the areas of your life where you have doubts about your abilities or talents. You might ask your friends and family members if they see any negative beliefs that you might have. Often, they will be aware of negative self-limiting beliefs that you have that you are not aware of yourself. In every case, once you've identified these negative beliefs, ask yourself, what if the opposite were true? What if you had the ability to be extraordinarily successful in an area where you currently doubt yourself? What if you had been programmed from infancy with genius ability in a particular area? For example, what if you had within you right now the ability to earn and keep all the money you could ever want throughout your life? What if you had a golden touch with regard to money? If you absolutely believed these things to be true, what would you do differently from what you're doing today? Your beliefs are always manifested in your words and actions. Make sure that everything you say and do from now on is consistent with the beliefs that you want to have and the person that you want to become. In time, you will replace more and more of your self-limiting beliefs with life-enhancing beliefs. Over time, you will completely reprogram yourself for success. When this occurs, the transformation that takes place in your outer life will amaze you and all the people around you. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, act as if. If you were one of the most competent and highly respected people in your field, how would you think, act, and feel differently from today? Second, imagine that you have a golden touch with regard to money. If you were an extremely competent money manager, how would you handle your finances differently from the way you handle them today? And third, identify the self-limiting beliefs that could be holding you back. How would you act if these self-limiting beliefs were completely untrue? Imagine that you were going to take a long trip across the country. The first thing you would do would be to choose your destination and then get a road map to determine the very best way to get there. Each day, before you started out, you would locate yourself on a map relative to where you are and to where you plan to go in the hours ahead. Life is very much the same. Once you've decided upon your values, vision, mission, purpose, and goals, the next step is for you to analyze your starting point. Exactly where are you today, and how are you doing in each of the important areas of your life, especially as they relate to your goals? Jack Welch, CEO of General Electric for many years, once said that the most important quality of leadership is the reality principle. He defined this principle as the ability to see the world as it really is, not as you wish it were. He would begin every meeting to discuss a goal or problem with the question, "What's the reality?" Peter Drucker refers to this quality as intellectual honesty, dealing with the facts exactly as they are before attempting to solve a problem or make a decision. Abraham Maslow once wrote that the first quality of the self-actualizing person was the ability to be completely honest and objective with himself or herself. It is the same with you. If you want to be the best you can be and to achieve what is truly possible for you, you must be brutally honest with yourself and your point of departure. You must sit down and analyze yourself in detail to decide exactly where you are today in each area. For example, if you decided to lose weight, the very first thing you would do is to weigh yourself to determine how much you weigh today. From then on, you continually use that weight as a measure for whether or not you are making progress in weight reduction. If you decide to begin a personal exercise program, the first thing you do is to determine how much you are exercising today. How many minutes per day and per week are you exercising and how intensely each time? What kind of exercises are you doing? Whatever your answer, it's important that you be as accurate as you possibly can. You can then use this answer as a starting point and make your exercise plans for the future based on it. If you want to earn more money, the first thing you do is you sit down and determine exactly how much you are earning right now. How much did you earn last year and the year before? How much will you earn this year? How much are you earning each month? The best measure of all is for you to determine how much you are earning each hour right now. You can determine your hourly rate by dividing your annual income by 2,000, the approximate number of hours that you work each year. Even better, you can divide your monthly income by 172, which is the number of hours you work on average each month. Many of my coaching clients calculate their hourly rate each week and compare it against previous weeks. They then set a goal to increase the value of what they do each hour so as to increase the amount they earn each hour on a go-forward basis. You should do the same. The tighter and more accurate your calculations regarding your income or any other area, the better and faster you can improve in each one of them. For example, the average person thinks in terms of monthly and annual salary. This is hard to analyze and increase. Conversely, the high performer thinks in terms of hourly rate, which is amenable to improvements on a minute-to-minute basis. Since you are the president of your own personal services corporation, you should view yourself as being on your own payroll. Imagine you are paying yourself by the hour. Be just as demanding on yourself as you would be on someone else who is working for you. Refuse to do anything that doesn't pay your desired hourly rate. If you set a long-term financial goal, the next step for you is to determine exactly how much you are worth today in financial terms. If your goal is to become a millionaire in the years ahead, you must calculate exactly how much you have accumulated as of today's date. Most people are confused or dishonest about this calculation. Your true dollar net worth is the amount that you would have left over if you sold everything you own today at what the market would pay and then paid off all your bills prior to leaving the country. Many people place a high value on their personal possessions. They think that their clothes, cars, furniture, and electronics are worth a lot of money. But the true value of these items is usually not more than 10% or 20% of what you paid, and sometimes less. For accurate financial planning, calculate your net worth today and then draw a line from that point to your long-term financial goal. Divide the line by the number of years you intend to spend to achieve that financial goal. In this way, you will know exactly how much you have to save, invest, and accumulate each year in order to become financially independent. Is your goal realistic based on where you are today and the time you have allocated to get to where you want to go? If your goal is not realistic, force yourself to be completely honest and revise both your calculations and your projections. What's the reality? When you begin to plan your long-term future, one of the most valuable exercises you can engage in is called zero-based thinking. In zero-based thinking, you ask this question: knowing what I now know, is there anything that I am doing today that I wouldn't start up again today if I had to do it over, knowing what I now know? No matter who you are or what you are doing, there are certain things in your life that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into again today if you had to do them over. It's difficult, if not impossible, for you to make progress in your life if you allow yourself to be held back by decisions you have made in the past. If there is something in your life that you wouldn't get into again today, your next question should be, how do I get out and how fast? Apply zero-based thinking to the people in your life, both personal and business. Is there any relationship in your life that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into? Is there any person that you have hired, assigned, or promoted that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't hire back again today? Is there any person that you are working with or for that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get involved with again today? Be perfectly honest with yourself when you ask and answer these questions. Examine every aspect of your work life and career. Is there any job that you have taken on that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into? Is there any part of your business or work that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't start up again? Is there any activity, process, product, service, or expenditure in your business that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't embark upon again today if you had to do it over? After people and work considerations, look at your investments. Is there any investment of time, money, or emotion that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into again today if you had to do it over? If your answer is no, the next question is, how do you get out and how fast? I have a good friend who was a golfer in high school and university. As a bachelor, he played golf several times a week. He organized his entire life around golf, even flying south in the winter to golf courses that had no snow on them. Over time, he started and built a business, got married, and had children. But he was still locked into the idea of playing golf several times a week. Eventually, the enormous time commitment of playing golf began to affect his business, his married life, and his relationship with his children. When the stress became too great, he sat down and zero-based his activities. He realized that, knowing what he now knew, in his current situation, the golf would have to be cut back dramatically if he was going to achieve other things in his life that were now more important. By reducing his golfing time, he got his whole life back into balance in just a few weeks. How might this principle apply to you? What major time-consuming activities should you reduce or eliminate? If you want to earn a certain amount of money, ask yourself, why am I not earning this amount of money already? What's holding you back? What's the major reason that you're not already earning what you want to earn? Again, you must be perfectly honest with yourself. Look around you and identify other people who are earning the kind of money that you want to earn. What are they doing differently from you? What special skills and abilities have they developed that you have not yet developed? What skills and abilities do you need to acquire if you want to earn the same kind of money they are earning? If you're not sure, go and ask them. Find out. This is too important for guesswork or chance. Do a skills inventory on yourself. First, identify the key result areas of your work. These are the tasks that you absolutely, positively have to fulfill in an excellent fashion in order to do your job well. What are they? In every job, there are seldom more than 5 to 7 key result areas. These are critical tasks. You must be absolutely excellent at each one of them in order to do the whole job for which you are paid. You must be good at every one of these tasks if you want to earn the kind of money that you're truly capable of earning. Here's an important discovery. Your weakest key skill sets the height at which you can use all your other skills. Your weakest key result area, whatever it is, determines your income in your field. You can be absolutely excellent at everything except for one key skill, and that skill will hold you back every step of the way. So, in what area, at which skill, are you the very best at what you do? What particular skill is responsible for your success in your career to date? What is it that you do as well or better than anyone else? Once you've answered these questions, you then look at yourself in the mirror and ask, what are my weakest skill areas? Where are you below average or poor? What is it that you do poorly that interferes with your ability to use your other skills? What is it that you do poorly that other people do better than you? Especially, what key skills do you lack that are essential for your success? Whatever they are, you need to identify them accurately and honestly, and then make a plan to improve in those areas. We will discuss this in depth in a later session. When you embark on the achievement of any great goal, you should imagine that at any time you could start your career over again. Never allow yourself to be locked in or trapped by a particular decision from the past. Keep focused on the future. Many people today are walking away from their educations, their businesses, their industries, and their years of experience and getting into something completely new and different. They are honest enough to recognize that there is a limited future in the direction they are going, and they're determined to get into something where the future possibilities are far greater. You must do the same. In doing a baseline assessment of yourself and your life, you must face the facts, whatever they are. As Harold Janine of IT&T once said, facts don't lie. Seek out the real facts, not the obvious facts, the apparent facts, the hoped-for facts, or the wished-for facts. The true facts are what you need to make good decisions. Take a hard look at your current company and industry. Take a hard look at your current job situation. Take a hard look at your market relative to your competitors. In reinventing yourself, stand back and think about starting your career over again today, knowing what you now know. Imagine that your job and your industry disappeared overnight. Imagine that you had to make brand new career choices. If you were starting over again today with your special combination of talents and skills, what would you choose to do that is different from what you are doing now? Your most valuable financial asset is your earning ability. This is your ability to apply your talents to the marketplace to earn money. In reality, you could lose your home, your car, your bank account, and your furniture, and be left with nothing but the clothes on your back. But as long as your earning ability was intact, you could walk across the street and begin generating a good living almost immediately. Your earning ability is extremely precious to you. And your earning ability can be either an appreciating asset or a depreciating asset. Your earning ability can grow in value if you continue to invest in it and develop it. It can decline in value if you begin to take it for granted and start to coast on the basis of what you've done in the past. See yourself as a bundle of resources, capable of doing many different things. You already have a wide variety of skills, abilities, knowledge, talents, education, and experience. There are many jobs and tasks that you could do or learn to do extremely well. Never allow yourself to get locked into a particular course of action, especially if you are not happy with the way things are going today. In mentally starting over, as though you were beginning your career anew, look deeply into yourself as well. What good habits do you have that are helping you and moving you toward your goal? What bad habits have you developed that may be holding you back? What are your very best qualities of character and personality? What are your weakest qualities? What new habits and qualities do you need to develop to get the very most out of yourself? And what is your plan to begin developing them? What bad habits do you need to get rid of and replace with good habits? Jim Collins, in his best-selling business book, Good to Great, says you must be willing to ask the brutal questions of yourself and your business if you're going to identify and remove the obstacles that are preventing you from moving ahead. What are some of the brutal questions that you have to ask yourself before you launch wholeheartedly towards your goals? Whenever I do strategic planning for a company, we start off the session with four questions. First, we ask, where are we now? We gather data and information from every part of the company to develop a crystal clear picture of our starting point, especially with regard to sales, market position, and profitability. Second, we ask, where would we ideally like to be in the future? We idealize and practice future orientation. We imagine that we can make the company into anything we like in the years ahead, and we create a perfect vision of what the company would look like if we were successful in every respect. Third, we ask, how did we get to where we are today? What did we do right? What would we do differently if we had to do it over again? What have been our biggest successes so far, and why did they occur? What have we failed at, and what were the reasons for it? As George Santayana wrote, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. The fourth question we ask and answer is always, what do we do now to get from where we are to where we want to go? Based on our experience, what should we be doing more of or less of? What should we start doing that we are not doing today? What should we stop doing altogether? The good news is that if we have answered the first three questions accurately, the strategic plan or blueprint comes together more easily than if we were trying to plan without being clear about where we were or how we got there. There's an old saying, well begun is half done. Doctors say accurate diagnosis is half the cure. Taking the time to honestly evaluate each part of your situation before you launch towards your goal will save you months and even years on your journey. In many cases, it will force you to reevaluate your goals in the light of superior analysis and knowledge. It will dramatically improve the speed at which you achieve your goals once you get going. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, determine the reality of your current situation relative to your major goals. Where are you now, and how far do you have to go? Second, apply the zero-based thinking principle to every area of your life. What are you doing today that you wouldn't get into again if you had to do it over, knowing what you now know? And third, do a complete financial analysis of your life today. How much are you earning right now, and how much are you worth? What are your goals in the financial area? You have incredible mental powers that you habitually fail to use to their full extent. By systematically setting goals for your life and making detailed plans to achieve them, you will save yourself years of hard work in reaching the same level of success. Goal setting enables you to use vastly more of your thinking powers than the average person. Your conscious mind is the head office of your life. Its role is to deal with the information in your environment and then to identify, analyze, compare it against other information, and finally, to decide what actions to take. But it is your subconscious mind that contains the great powers that can enable you to accomplish vastly more than you ever have before. At least 90% or more of your mental powers are below the surface. It's essential that you learn to tap into these powers to motivate, stimulate, and drive you forward toward the achievement of your goals. Your subconscious mind functions best with clear goals, specific tasks, deliberate measures, and firm deadlines. The more of these with which you program your subconscious computer, the better it functions for you and the more you will accomplish in a shorter period of time. As you set your goals and begin moving toward them, it's essential that you establish a series of benchmarks or measures that you can use to evaluate your progress day by day and hour by hour. The more clear and specific the measures you set, the more accurate you will be in hitting your targets on schedule. Your subconscious mind requires a forcing system composed of deadlines that you have imposed on yourself for task accomplishment and goal attainment. Without a forcing system, it becomes easy for you to procrastinate and delay and to put off important tasks until much later, if at all. There are three keys to peak performance in achieving your goals. They are commitment, completion, and closure. When you make a firm commitment to achieve a particular goal and you put aside all excuses, it is very much like stepping on the accelerator of your subconscious mind. You will be more creative, determined, and focused than ever before. Great men and women are those who make clear, unequivocal commitments and then refuse to budge from them, no matter what happens. Completion is the second ingredient in peak performance. There is an enormous difference between doing 95% of a task and doing 100% of a task. In fact, it is very common for people to work very hard up to the 90% or 95% level and then to slack off and delay the final completion of the task. This is a temptation that you must fight against. You must continually force yourself, discipline yourself to resist this natural tendency and push through to completion. Every time you complete a task of any kind, your brain releases a small quantity of endorphins. This natural morphine gives you a sense of well-being and elation. It makes you feel happy and peaceful. It stimulates your creativity and improves your personality. It is nature's wonder drug. The more important the task that you complete, the greater is the quantity of endorphin that your brain releases, very much like a reward for success and achievement. Over time, you can develop a positive addiction to the feelings of well-being that you receive from this endorphin rush. Even when you complete a small task, you feel happier. When you complete a large task, you feel happier still. When you finish the various steps on the way to the completion of a large task, at every achievement, you get an endorphin rush. You feel continuously happy and exhilarated when you are working steadily toward the completion of an important job. Everyone wants to feel like a winner, and feeling like a winner requires that you win. You get the feeling of the winner by completing a task 100%. When you do this repeatedly, eventually you develop the habit of completing the tasks that you begin. When this habit of task completion locks in, your life will begin to improve in ways that you cannot today imagine. In psychology, the reverse is always true. The incomplete action is a major source of stress and anxiety. In fact, much of the unhappiness that people experience is because they have not been able to discipline themselves to follow through and complete an important task or responsibility. If you've ever had a major assignment that you have been putting off, you know what I'm referring to. The longer you wait to get started on an assignment and the closer the deadline approaches, the greater stress you experience. It can start to keep you up at night and affect your personality. But when you finally launch into the task and push it through to completion, you feel a great sense of relief and well-being. It's almost as if nature rewards you for everything that you do that is positive and life-enhancing. At the same time, nature penalizes you with stress and dissatisfaction when you fail to do the things that move you toward the goals and results that are important to you. One of the most popular movements in modern management is toward what is called the balanced scorecard. Using these scorecards, every person at every level of the business is encouraged to identify the key measures that indicate success, and then to give themselves scores every day and every week in each of those key areas. Here's an important point. The very act of identifying a number or score and then paying close attention to it will cause you to improve your performance in that area. For example, if someone were to tell you before a meeting that you were going to be evaluated on how well you listened in that meeting, your listening skills would improve dramatically within a few moments. You would listen far more carefully and attentively throughout the meeting because you knew that this behavior was being observed. One of the most helpful actions you take in your own career is to set benchmarks and create scorecards, measures, metrics, and deadlines for every key task that you must complete on the way to one of your goals. In this way, you activate your subconscious forcing system. This forcing system will then motivate you and drive you at an unconscious level to start earlier, work harder, stay later, and get the job done. The third C, after commitment and completion, is closure. This is the difference between an open loop and a closed loop. Bringing closure to an issue in your personal or business life is absolutely essential for you to feel happy and in control of your situation. Lack of closure, unfinished business, and incomplete action of any kind are all major sources of stress, dissatisfaction, and even failure in business. They consume enormous amounts of physical and emotional energy. Perhaps the most important ability in the world of work is depend ability. There's nothing that will get you paid more and promoted faster than for you to develop a reputation for getting your tasks done quickly and well and on schedule. Whatever your goals, make a list of all the tasks that you will have to accomplish in the achievement of those goals. Put a deadline on every one of those tasks. Then, work every day and every hour to hit your deadlines. Measure your progress each day as you go along. Speed up or slow down where necessary. But remember, you can't hit a target you can't see. The greater clarity that you have with regard to deadlines and measures, the more you will accomplish and the faster you'll get it done. A goal or a decision without a deadline is merely a discussion. It has no energy behind it. It's like a bullet with no powder in the cartridge. Unless you establish deadlines to which you are committed, you will end up firing blanks in life and work. Sometimes people ask, "What if I set a deadline and I don't achieve the goal by the deadline?" Simple. Set another deadline, and then another if necessary. Deadlines are best guess estimates of when the task will be completed. The more you set and work toward deadlines, the more accurate you will become in predicting the time necessary to complete them in the future. You will then become better and better at achieving your goals and completing your task on schedule every time. You've heard the question, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, one bite at a time. This metaphor applies to achieving any big goal as well. How do you achieve a huge goal? You accomplish it one step, one task, one measure at a time. Break your long-term goals down into annual, monthly, weekly, and even hourly goals. Even if your long-term goal is financial independence, look for a way to break that down into how you are going to use each hour of the coming day in such a way that long-term financial independence is far more likely. If you want to increase your income, you know that all income is a result of added value. Look at everything you do and then ask yourself how you could add more value so that you can be worth more than you are earning today. Go and ask your boss, "What one thing do I do that is more valuable than anything else?" Whatever his or her answer, look for ways to perform more and more of that task and to get better and better at doing it. It's absolutely amazing how much you can accomplish if you break your tasks down into bite-sized pieces, set deadlines, and then do one thing at a time every single day. You've heard the old saying, by the yard it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. If you want to increase your hourly rate and your income, look for ways to get a little bit better at the most important things you do every single day. Read 1 hour per day in your field. Listen to audio programs on your way to and from work. Take additional courses whenever you can. These activities will propel your entire career onto the fast track. When you invest an extra 1 or 2 hours per day in self-improvement, the cumulative effect on your greater ability to get results can be extraordinary. If you want to lose weight, there is a simple 5-word formula. It is eat less and exercise more. If you discipline yourself to eat a little bit less, but eat higher quality foods and simultaneously exercise a little bit more each day, you can get into the rhythm of losing 1 ounce per day. No matter how much you weigh today, if you lose 1 ounce each day, that will equal about 2 pounds per month. 2 pounds per month will be 24 pounds per year. In no time at all, you can retrain your body and your appetite so that you lose the weight and keep it off for the rest of your life. If you want to become wealthy, begin to question every single expense. Set a goal to save $3, $5, or $10 per day. Put this money away in a savings account and never touch it. As it grows, invest it carefully in a well-chosen mutual fund or index funds. Make daily, weekly, and monthly saving and investment into a habit and keep it up for the rest of your working life. In no time at all, you will become comfortable living on slightly less than you are spending today. As your income increases, increase the amount that you save. In a few weeks, a few months, a few years, you will be out of debt and have a large amount of money put away and working for you. A few years down the road, you will be financially independent. If you read 15 minutes each evening rather than watching television, you will complete about 15 books per year. If you read in the great classics of English literature for 15 minutes each day, in 7 years you will have read the 100 greatest books ever written. You will be one of the best educated and most erudite people of your generation. And you can achieve this just by reading 15 minutes each evening before you go to bed. If you're in sales and you want to increase your income, keep careful track of how many calls, how many presentations, how many proposals, and how many sales you are making each day, each week, and each month at the present time. Then, set a goal to increase your number of calls, presentations, and proposals per day, per week, and per month. Set a goal to increase your number of sales each week and each month. Every day, measure yourself against your own standards. In each area of your life, analyze your activities carefully and select a specific number that more than anything else determines your level of success in that area. Then, focus all of your attention all day long on that specific number. The very act of focused attention will cause you to perform better in that area, both consciously and unconsciously. If you want to be healthier, you could focus on the number of minutes per week that you exercise, or the number of calories per day that you eat. If you want to be successful financially, you can focus on the amount you earn each hour, or the amount that you save each month. If you want to be successful in sales, you could focus on the number of calls you make each day, or the number of sales, or the size of sales you make each month. If you want to be successful in your relationships, you can focus on the number of minutes that you spend face-to-face with the most important people in your life each day and each week. You've heard the saying, what gets measured gets done. Here's another saying, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Your ability to set specific measures on your goals and then to keep an accurate record and track your performance each day will assure that you achieve your goals exactly when you have decided to, or even before. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, determine a single measure that you can use to grade your progress and success in each area of your life. Refer to this measure daily to see how well you're doing. Second, determine the most important part of your job as it affects your income and measure your daily activities in that area every single day. Third, break every large goal down into measurable, controllable parts and then focus on accomplishing each part on a fixed deadline. How many times do you think that people try to achieve their new goals before they give up? The average is less than one time. Most people give up before they even make the first try. And the reason they give up is because of all the obstacles, difficulties, problems, and roadblocks that immediately appear as soon as you decide to do something that you've never done before. The fact is that successful people fail far more often than unsuccessful people. Successful people try more things, fall down, pick themselves up, and try again, over and over again before they win through. Unsuccessful people try a few things, if they try at all, and very soon quit and go back to what they were doing before. You should expect to fail and fall short many times before you achieve your goals. You should look upon failure and temporary defeat as a part of the price that you pay on your road to the success that you will inevitably achieve. As Henry Ford once said, failure is merely an opportunity to more intelligently begin again. Once you've decided upon your goal, ask yourself, why am I not there already? What is holding you back? Why haven't you achieved that goal up until now? Identify all the obstacles that stand between you and your goal. Write down every single thing that you can think of that might be blocking you or slowing you down from moving ahead. Remember, you become what you think about most of the time. In the area of problems and difficulties, successful people have a particular way of thinking that we call solution orientation. Successful people think about solutions most of the time. Unsuccessful people think about problems and difficulties most of the time. Solution-oriented people are constantly looking for ways to get over, around, and past the obstacles that stand in their ways. Problem-oriented people talk continuously about their problems, about who or what caused them, how unhappy or angry they are, and how unfortunate it is that they have occurred. Solution-oriented people, on the other hand, simply ask the question, how, and then get to work to remove the problems. Between you and anything you want to accomplish, there will always be problems or obstacles of some kind. This is why success is sometimes defined as the ability to solve problems. Personal leadership is the ability to solve problems. Effectiveness is the ability to solve problems. All men and women who accomplish anything of importance are people who have developed the ability to solve the problems that stand between them and their goals. Fortunately, problem-solving is a skill, like riding a bicycle or typing with a typewriter, which you can learn. And the more you focus on solutions, the more and better solutions will come to you. The better you get at solving problems, the faster you will be at solving each subsequent problem. And as you get better and faster at solving problems, you will attract even bigger and more expensive problems to solve. Eventually, you will be solving problems that can have significant financial consequences for you and others. This is the way the world works. The fact is that you have the ability to solve any problem or overcome any obstacle on the path to your goal if you desire the goal intensely enough. You have within you right now all the intelligence and ability you will ever need to overcome any obstacle that could possibly hold you back. One of the most important breakthroughs in thinking in the last few decades was described by Elihu Goldratt in his book, The Goal, as the theory of constraints. This theory says that between you and anything you want to accomplish, there is a constraint or limiting factor that determines how fast you get to where you want to go. For example, if you're driving down the freeway and there is traffic construction that is narrowing all the cars into a single lane, this bottleneck or choke point becomes the constraint that determines how fast you get to your destination. The speed at which you pass through this bottleneck will largely determine the speed of your entire journey. In accomplishing any major goal, there's always a constraint or bottleneck that you must get through as well. Your job is to identify it accurately and then to focus all of your energies on alleviating that key constraint. Your ability to remove this bottleneck or deal with this limiting factor can help you move ahead faster than perhaps any other step you can take. The 80-20 rule applies to the constraints between you and your goals. In this case, this rule says that 80% of your constraints will be within yourself. Only 20% of your constraints will be outside of yourself, contained in other people and situations. To put it another way, it is you personally who is usually the major roadblock that is setting the speed at which you achieve any goal that you set for yourself. For most people, this is hard to accept, but superior people are more concerned with what is right rather than who is right or being right. Superior people are more concerned with the truth of the situation and what they can do to solve the problem than they are with protecting their egos. Ask yourself, what is it in me that is holding me back? Look deep within yourself and identify the key constraints in your personality, your temperament, your skills, your abilities, your habits, your education or experience that might be holding you back from achieving the goals that you have set for yourself. Ask the brutal questions. Be completely honest with yourself. The primary obstacles between you and your goals are usually mental. They are psychological and emotional in character. They are within yourself rather than within the situation around you. And it is with these mental obstacles that you must begin if you want to achieve everything that is possible for you. The two major obstacles to success and achievement are fear and doubt. It is, first of all, the fears of failure, poverty, loss, embarrassment, or rejection that holds the average person back from trying in the first place. This is why the average number of times that a person tries with a new goal is less than one. As soon as he thinks of the goal, these fears overwhelm him, and like a bucket of water on a small fire, extinguishes his desire completely. The second mental obstacle, closely aligned to fear, is that of self-doubt. We doubt our own abilities. We compare ourselves unfavorably to others, and think that others are somehow better, smarter, and more competent than we are. We think, I'm not good enough. We feel inadequate and inferior to the challenges of achieving the great goals that we so much want to accomplish. Fortunately, if there's anything good about doubt and fear, it is that they are both learned emotions. Have you ever seen a negative baby? Children come into the world with no doubts or fears at all, and whatever has been learned can be unlearned through practice and repetition. The primary antidotes to doubt and fear are courage and confidence. The higher your level of courage and confidence, the lower will be your levels of fear and doubt, and the less effect these negative emotions will have on your performance and behavior. The way that you develop courage and confidence is with knowledge and skill. Most fear and doubt arises out of ignorance and feelings of inadequacy of some kind. The more you learn the things you need to know to achieve your goals, the less fear you will feel on the one hand, and the more courage and confidence you will feel on the other. Think about learning to drive for the first time. You were probably extremely tense and nervous and made a lot of mistakes. You may have driven erratically and been a danger to yourself and others. But over time, as you mastered the knowledge and skills of driving, you became better and better, and your confidence increased. Today, you can quite comfortably get into your car and drive across the country with no fear or worry at all. You are so competent at driving that you can do it well without even thinking about it. The same principles apply to any skills you need to learn to achieve any goal you can set for yourself. Dr. Martin Seligman at the University of Pennsylvania spent more than 25 years studying the phenomenon of what he called learned helplessness. What Seligman concluded after interviewing and studying many thousands of people was that more than 80% of the population suffers from learned helplessness to some degree, and occasionally to a very high degree indeed. A person suffering from learned helplessness feels that he or she is incapable of achieving his or her goals or improving his or her life. The most common manifestation of learned helplessness is contained in the words, I can't. Whenever the victim of learned helplessness is offered an opportunity, possibility, or new goal, he immediately responds by saying, I can't. He then goes on to give all the reasons why a particular goal or objective is not possible for him. I can't move ahead in my career. I can't get a better job. I can't take time off to study. I can't save money. I can't lose weight. I can't start my own business. I can't start a second income business. I can't change or improve my relationship. I can't get my time under control. Whatever it is, he always has a self-limiting reason that immediately slams on the brakes of his potential. It short-circuits any attempt or desire to set a new goal or to change things in any way. Another famous observation of Henry Ford was, if you believe you can do a thing, or you believe you cannot, in either case, you are probably right. Learned helplessness is usually caused by destructive criticism in childhood, negative experiences growing up, and failure experiences as an adult. The way you get over this natural tendency to sell yourself short is by setting small goals, making plans, and working on them each day. In this way, you gradually develop greater courage and confidence, like building up a muscle. As you become more confident in yourself and your abilities, you can set even larger goals. Over time, your doubts and fears will weaken, and your courage and confidence will grow and become the dominant force in your thinking. Eventually, with a record of successes behind you, it won't be long before you become unstoppable. The second mental obstacle that you need to overcome is the comfort zone. Many people become complacent with their current situations. They become so comfortable at a particular job or relationship, or at a particular salary or level of responsibility, that they become reluctant to make any changes at all, even for the better. The comfort zone is a major obstacle to ambition, desire, determination, and accomplishment. People who get stuck in a comfort zone, combined with learned helplessness, are almost impossible to help in any way. Don't let this happen to you. The way that you get out of your comfort zone and break loose from learned helplessness is by setting big, challenging goals. You then break these goals down into specific tasks, set deadlines, and work on them every day. Like an ice floe breaking up in the spring, soon the sluggishness and lethargy of learned helplessness and the comfort zone breaks up, and you begin moving faster and faster toward accomplishing more and more of what is possible for you. Once you've made a list of all the obstacles that are standing in the way of your achieving your major goals, organize the obstacles by priority. What is the largest single obstacle? If you could wave a magic wand and remove one major obstacle from your path, which one obstacle, if removed, would help you the most in moving ahead more rapidly? Management consultant Ian Mitruff has an interesting set of observations with regard to problem solving and the removal of obstacles. He says, whatever the problem, define it in several different ways before you attempt to solve it. Beware of any problem for which there is only one definition or only one solution. When you ask the question with regard to your goal, why am I not there already? What answer comes to mind? What is holding you back? What is standing in your way? It is at this point that you have to drill down to determine the correct obstacle before you begin taking steps to remove it. You do this by asking the question, what else could be the problem, after each definition of the problem? In the business book, The McKinsey Way, describing the management consulting practices of McKinsey & Company, the authors point out that one of the greatest wastes of time and money is in applying the wrong solution to the wrong problem in the first place. This can apply to your problems and obstacles as well. By identifying the constraints or reasons that you are not achieving your personal income goals, each definition leads to a different set of solutions. They require that you think in different ways. In your personal life, it's the same. The accuracy with which you identify the obstacles or bottlenecks that are holding you back will determine the appropriateness of the various steps that you can take to remove or alleviate those obstacles. You could start off by stating the problem in this way. I am not earning enough money. So, what else is the problem? Maybe the answer is, I am not contributing enough value to be worth more money. What else could be the problem? Maybe it's, I am not good enough at what I do to be capable of getting results that are worth more than I'm earning today. What else could be the problem? Well, you could say, I don't use my time efficiently enough during the workday. What else could be the problem? You could say, I spend my evenings watching television, my weekends socializing, and I seldom read or learn anything that would help me to be better at my job. Aha! Now you have found the real problem. Now you have a clear idea of what you have to do differently if you're going to solve your original problem, which was to earn more money. Once you've determined the major obstacle that is holding you back, rewrite that obstacle as a positive goal. For example, you could now say, my goal is to continually upgrade my skills and abilities so that I am in the top 10% of money earners in my field. You then make a list of all the things that you could do to upgrade your knowledge and skills, improve your time management, increase your efficiency and effectiveness, and make more sales for your company. You set deadlines and measures next to each step in your strategy to achieve excellence in your field. You then select one key task and take action on it immediately. From then on, you hold your own feet to the fire. You become your own taskmaster. You discipline and drive yourself to do the things that you need to do to become the kind of person you need to become in order to achieve the goals that you've set for yourself. This exercise of identifying what is holding you back and then setting a clear, written goal to remove that obstacle puts you back in control of your own life. By following through on your resolution, you virtually guarantee your ultimate success and the achievement of almost any goal you can set for yourself. If you have any questions or concerns about the accuracy of your problem definition, discuss it with someone you know and trust. Put your ego aside. Invite honest feedback and criticism. Be open to the possibility that you have fundamental flaws and weaknesses that are standing in the way of your realizing your full potential. Be brutally honest with yourself. Once your problem or obstacle is clear to you, ideas, opportunities, and answers will come to you from various sources. You will begin to attract into your life all kinds of resources that will help you to overcome the obstacle or difficulty, either within yourself or within the situation around you, and move you more rapidly towards your goal. Remember the old poem, "For every problem under the sun, there is a solution or there is none. If there is a solution, go and find it. If there isn't, never mind it." For every problem or obstacle that is standing between you and what you want to accomplish, there is a solution of some kind somewhere. Your job is to be absolutely clear about what sets the speed at which you achieve your goal, and then to focus your time and attention on alleviating that constraint. By removing your major obstacle, you will often make more progress in a few months than the average person might make in several years. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, identify a major goal of yours and then ask, "Why aren't I there already? What is holding me back?" List everything you can think of. Second, identify the constraint or limiting factor in yourself or the situation that sets the speed at which you achieve your goal. And third, develop several definitions of your major problem or obstacle. Keep asking, what else is the problem? And be prepared to follow where the answer leads you.